Congress with his lovely wife, Brenda. They are an amazing, dynamic duo. Pastor Carl is going to bring the message. This is part two of the series, On a Mission. Sit back and enjoy it.
Well, yeah. Well, me and the Lord, we got an understanding.
We're on a mission from God.
Putting the band back together.
Forget it. Don't wait.
We're on a mission from God.
Matt, me and Elwood, putting the band back together.
Ma'am, you gotta understand that this is a lot bigger than any domestic problems you might be experiencing.
Would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matt here to do is a holy thing?
You see, we're on a mission from God.
First you trade the Cadillac for a microphone. Then you lie to me about the band. Now you're gonna put me right back in the joint.
They're not gonna catch us. We're on a mission from God. It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it. Works in mysterious ways.
Yep.
Well, yeah, we're on a mission from God. That's our part two this week. And I talked to Pastor Bill yesterday. He is doing better, but just keep praying for him that he'll get his strength back and he'll be raring to go this coming week. So he's an awesome man of God, and I appreciate him giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. So this is part two, and we're going to start with if you've got the little handouts inside your bulletin, we're going to have a little fill in the blanks and follow some scriptures on there. If you did not get one, the ushers can bring you a copy of the little handouts. Ooh, so raise your hand. So we'll take a minute to get these out. So here they're coming. They're coming down the aisles for you. Well, the first one is very simple, so I'm going to go ahead and get started on it. You're going to do a fill-in-the-blank right away. Since you're here an hour earlier, we're going to wake you up immediately. So the first one is what we've been talking about, and it says, the church is on a mission. So this is a subject that's really dear to my heart. I love talking about the mission of the church because that's what we're here for. That's what we're all about. I mean, we could have, when we received Jesus, we could have gone to heaven right away. We could have just zapped right out. God could have done it any way he wanted to, but he chose us to leave us here. And you could break up our reasons for why we are still here for many things, but I got a twofold purpose that I want to share with you this morning. And it has to do with a couple of scriptures I'm going to read. We're going to read Philippians 3, verses 10 through 11. This is involving your first purpose. You'll see it right away. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then John 17, 3, another version of that is that, and this is eternal life. What is eternal life? This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, purpose number one on your next fill in the blank is that I may know him. I may know him. And that's one of the main, and you can encompass worship, prayer, just a relationship with God, that I may know him, because God is a relational God. He is a father to us. And then purpose number two says, you and I have a mission to find the lost and to invite them in. To find the lost and to invite them in. That's the other mission, so to speak, that we have, which we've been talking about, the mission of the church. So Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why Jesus came, is to find people. And that's what our mission is. Our purpose is to find people. So we're going to read a couple of parables that Jesus taught. You know, he taught on a lot of parables, which were stories. He liked to tell stories that you and I can relate to. So these are two about the lost and seeking and finding them. One, the first one is the one, some of you may have read it before, the lost sheep. I'm going to read out of Luke 15, verses 1 through 10, if you'll follow along with me. If you don't have your Bible, or I don't know if it's going to be on the overhead or not, but yes, there it is. "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners," I was a sinner, we were all sinners, weren't we? "Were coming near to him," this is to Jesus, "to listen to him. Both Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" How horrible. "So he told them this parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." So that just says a lot to us as far as our mission goes. All of us are important. All of us God calls righteous because Jesus has made us righteous because we've accepted him and what his blood has done for us, which has forgiven us of our sins. We've accepted him into our life. That makes us righteous, just like these sheep that he were talking about. We're like the 99 righteous sheep, but God sees people out there, and he wants us to see the people out there just like this shepherd and have like our spiritual antennas honed in on this one lost sheep. He made a special effort to think about it, go after it, took a chance, went after it, and he brought it back, and then there was a big party. Because there's a greater party in heaven over one person who comes in to know God than over the remainder of the flock who already does know God. Not that they're not important, but that's the way it is. Here's another parable called the parable of the lost coin. It says, "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, some of us can relate to this. Some of us may have lost something valuable. I think Rebecca lost something valuable a few weeks ago. And were you not thrilled when you found it? Oh, yeah. She was thrilled. So when we lose something valuable and we find it, we can relate to that, can't we? That is something valuable to God. Someone who doesn't know him, we find them. God touches their heart. They turn their life to Jesus, and now they're in heaven. Literally, they're going to be in heaven when they pass. Now, I am so glad that God sent to me. I can remember there's been other people, but two in when I was in college, two people God sent to me to share, to seek me out and find me. One of them was this young man named Dan Roberts. He was with Campus Crusade at Auburn University, and he came up to me and my friend. We were in the laundromat when we were freshmen washing our clothes, and he just asked us if we knew the Lord, and I was convicted because I had received the Lord when I was very young, but I wasn't going to church anywhere, and so I started going to church for a while for my freshman year for most of it, but then the temptations of college life got to me, and I went into deep depravity as far as I'm concerned. It was deep depravity, and you know, God didn't give up on me. He sent me another person. His name was Bob Duvall, and this man was part of a team. It was a church planting team that came to Auburn University, and they came up to my fraternity house. I was vice president at the time, and this guy knocks on the door, this big, tall guy, Bob. Some of you may have met him. He was here a couple weeks ago. He's a good friend of Brenda's and mine. He knows Pastor Bill and Rebecca. And he came to the door, and they were booking bands to come and sing at fraternity houses. Now, this was a Christian contemporary band. It was not a rock band. It was a Christian contemporary band. They must have been praying for me, because in thinking back on it, in my worldly state of mind, I still do not know to this day why I said, yes, you can come play at lunchtime. And so they came one day at lunch, because they were playing at some other fraternity houses, and I said, this is called the Praise Band, and I said, sure, you can come play. You're playing at the ATO house. Wow, if you're playing there, which I knew how wild they were, you can come play at our house. So that was, I mean, somebody was praying for me. That's all I can say. So they came, and I'm thankful that he was part of a team, because later on that night, some other people in the team shared Jesus with me and how that he needed to be Lord of my life, and I gave my life to the Lord, and I've been serving him ever since. So praise God for that. So Bob, Pastor Bob, was on a team. By the way, he became my pastor. I didn't know it at the time. He became my pastor 5 years later. Somehow we all connected in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he was my pastor and became a very good friend of mine from that point on, and we've been vacationing, playing golf, doing, praying for each other, sharing our trials and our victories ever since for over 30 years. So God works with people that are just willing to be a part of a team, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because things in the Bible that compares us, God's people, the church, there is a parallel to what we call the body of Christ. So I'm going to read to you out of 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 18. And it says in verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but it's many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of us, each one of them in the body, just as he has desired." So God, you can see the parallel to the body, the physical body. We all have, the body has important parts. I mean, really, we need it. We need every little finger if we can get them. If you know, we need them. They're all important. The eyes, they're all important. So just like that, you guys are like members of a physical body. You have important places in the body of Christ, which is another name for the church. That's what the body of Christ is, the church. So Pastor Mike, he might be a finger, I might be a hand, and if Pastor Mike is saying, well, I don't want to be any part of the church, and so he's just staying at home and watching TV or something, but God has made him to be a part of a particular group of people called the church, which in this case would be Victory Church. So if I'm the hand, man, I need Pastor Mike, I need that finger, or my hand's going to be hurting, it's going to be sick, actually. So we're all important, no matter if you think you're a little finger or you think you're the big heart, whatever you are, you're important. So everybody in here, everybody is important. Everybody has a function. Everybody has gifts. So we're going to share what we do in Victory Church. We have four ways to help you discover and develop your gifts to be a part of the mission of God. And number one is what we call experiencing an inspiring Sunday service. That's what we're doing right now. And we want to make this, we work really hard. We have dream teams, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, that work really hard. They pray, they practice, they get together, they talk, and the pastors get together every week, and we talk about this service. We meet, and we talk about how the whole thing went. Everything from the time that someone comes out and parks their car, we wanted to make it a pleasant experience that they'll want to come back and bring a friend. So by the time they leave, they're going to say, wow. Their kids are going to say, wow. We want them to come back and say, I love that experience. So every week we're working harder and harder to make it more efficient and make it more enjoyable to the believers that are coming, and also people who have never been to church, especially for them. Because we want to have a good impression, not because we want to impress them. We want them to see that God loves them. Amen? We do. We want them to see that God loves them. So that's one of the things we do, is an inspiring Sunday service. The second thing that I have here is called Growth Track. You've You've heard Pastor Mike talking about Growth Track. A lot of you have participated in that. And that just helps people find out about what their callings, their giftings, their talents are. What is this church all about? So that they don't feel like they don't have any place here. They can find out right away, how do I fit in to this thing called Victory Church? So each week we have a different teaching on a different facet of four areas of Growth Track. I won't go into all of them now. But this week, as Pastor Mike mentioned, is 201. That's the second Sunday, is 201. And we're going to talk about the basics of the faith. What does Victory Church believe about? What do we believe about the Bible? What do we believe about church? How do we function as a church and the essentials of the faith, basically? What do we believe in? And so you'll find that out today. If you've not been to that, I encourage you to come. There is a free lunch, correct, afterwards, and it'll be over there in the toddler's room next door. So that's what we do. And then there's other weeks that you'll get a giftings and callings test. That's 301. And you'll find out, what are you wired inside to be like? You have a personality. You have giftings. You have talents. And then you can implement those in what we call dream teams or small groups, which is our next thing that we do. Number one was experience an inspiring Sunday service. Number two is going through Growth Track. And number three are small groups. Now, a lot of you are participating. We have a great participation in small groups. I want to thank you guys for, because, you know, you have to sacrifice to be in a small group. You have to take your time out during the week and be in small groups. But small groups are important. We use what they call the free market concept, which simply means that you participate in a small group in some areas that you have a passion for, a talent in, something that you like. If you don't want to be administrative, we don't want you to be in an administrative small group. If you want to be in something fun, we have fun small groups, but they all have spiritual components to them, because the first thing we want you to get out of small groups is relationships. And relationships are both with people, because right now you can only get to know me and maybe your neighbor next to you in this large meeting in a very casual way. You know, and that's the design of the Sunday service. But in a small group, you can get to know people, and God has designed you to get to know people. He's put that inside of you, that we are relational. That's why we call God a Father, because there's a relationship there with God our Father. So that's one thing you get to do, is relationships with people, but also you'll deepen your relationships with God, because we will be studying the Word, we'll be praying for each other, we'll be ministering to each other. And so when you do that, you're going to deepen your relationship with God. So those are two of the things involving being relational. Now, the other thing which pertains to this week that we're talking about here this morning is that they're evangelistic or they're missional. So what is that? Well, I want to share a little testimony that happened in our small group this week, because we've been encouraging the small group leaders to pray that God would bring people to your small group. But better yet, invite people to come to your small group. We want to pray, and we believe God answers our prayer, but we want to encourage all the small group people to think of people, if at all possible, to bring to your small group. Because you know why? There are some people out there. They're not going to come to this service the first time you ask them. They may not come to this service for a while. But if you develop a relationship with somebody, which you can do in a small group, you kind of break down those barriers. Amen. You break down these barriers of people. I don't like church. I've never liked church. They're a bunch of hypocrites and blah, blah, blah. All the things you've heard. I'm sure a lot of you have heard those out there, right? The excuses that people make as to why they don't want to come to church. But if they know you, they might trust you a little bit better than just going to a church service. So you can invite them to your small group. You can get to know them better in the small group. And everybody in the small group can love on them and show them the genuine love of God, and that people do care about them. They'll say, oh, well, these people aren't really that bad after all. And so then you can bring them to the large service when they're ready. Amen? So that's one of the purposes. Now, I mentioned about our small group. This week, we've been thinking about how to reach out. My son Michael hosts it at his apartment property. It's Park 16th Apartments. And we've been talking about being evangelistic. And we've been praying for divine appointments. Well, we're blessed to know that his manager is a very strong Christian lady. I love her first name, America. That's her name. I love her last name, too. It's Casanova. I've never met anybody like that. But she is so sweet, and so we thought, you know, can we potentially use the clubhouse to do our small group. And instead of just Michael's apartment every week, he says, oh, sure, just let me know ahead of time. And so this week we decided, because we found out something, that 70% of Michael's apartment property is international students. 70%. And most of them are Chinese students. She told me that it's taken on the nickname of Chinatown. So my mind immediately lit up when I saw this. I said, opportunity. We have got to reach these people. Michael is strategically placed here. Our small group is strategically placed here. So we asked her if we could use the clubhouse. They just so happen to have a ping pong table up there and a pool table. And she says, oh, there's several Chinese students that come up there and play every single day. And so I said, we like that. So we had our first meeting. It was spring break, so we weren't going to go out and invite everybody in the neighborhood yet, but we prayed. And she went the extra mile for us. She made a flyer, put it on her bulletin board, and then she put it on the door, another flyer on the door of the clubhouse, and said, Christian meeting at 7 p.m. this Friday. All are invited. And so that just set everything in motion. Then the teamwork that went into this is the next thing that I was really blessed with, because so many people in our small group just worked to make this happen. Brennan and Michael, they bought all kind of food. We had to get chairs. We had to set up things because they didn't have any chairs up there. So they got there early and they set everything up. And we had to bring food and snacks and everything. And there was already somebody there playing ping pong when Brenda got there, and she invited him. So he left, but later on he came back with two people. And so eventually we had four Chinese people. Now, they weren't students. One of them was working on his PhD. The other two guys were on an exchange program that they were working here. And one of them was studying environmental engineering. He was going to take what he learned and take it back to China. The other guy, his name was Ice. He was working at Shands as an anesthesiologist for a year. So they have some program. But nonetheless, we had four people there. And they had a great time because our group was really loving to them. Marissa, I just want to honor her. She came back early from her spring break. And she came in, and she just loved on these people. So I just appreciate her just sacrificing and doing that. And then Pastor Mike and Lelaine came to be a part. And that's a lot of work for them, because Lelaine works long hours all week. And she sacrificed to come in after work and came in. So they had already done their own small group. Now they were coming to a second small group later that night. So I really thank you guys for coming. You guys are awesome. And then Roosevelt, he was awesome because our topic of discussion, which all the Chinese students joined in on, they all sat there and listened. Brenda was thoughtful enough to bring Bibles, so she gave them all Bibles, and they were reading along with us. And we talked about the topic of trust. And Roosevelt, he was sharing about a situation in his life where the old Roosevelt, when there was a passing away of a family member, would have gone to different vices, you know, drugs, alcohol, whatever. He says, not the new Roosevelt. And he was sharing how he had changed, and he was tempted, but he stood strong, and he made it through it. And we were sharing scriptures on 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. I said, that's you, Roosevelt, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That is awesome. And then when I finished saying that, Roosevelt knew that we had the Chinese students in there, obviously. So he says, yeah. And being a Christian is about relationship. It's about knowing our Father. It's a personal relationship. So I just want to thank Roosevelt for being on tune and knowing what to say at the right time. Amen. And then I really want to give double kudos to Wee Lee and Joseph, our friends from Singapore. I invited them because they speak some Mandarin, and they're from Chinese descent, even though they live in Singapore. So I thought about them just relating to the Chinese students, and he sacrificed his time, even though he hadn't quite finished a project he was working. He still came, and they loved those two. And then Wee Lee went over there and sat and talked with them while we were doing the teaching. So they were a godsend. They're a godsend to our church, period, but they were a godsend to that. They were awesome, and I appreciate them too. So I asked the four Chinese young men if they come from Christian background. Not a single one of them had. As far as I could tell, nobody had ever shared Jesus with one single one of them. That may have been the first time they'd ever read a Bible. I didn't ask them, but they were reading. They understood it. They had enough English understanding that they understood what we were talking about when we shared in our discussion group. And one of them, the guy named Ice, he's going back to China in 10 days. And so I gave him a gospel tract, all four of them. And we told them we were going to do some more fun stuff and have some more meetings later. And Brenda came up with this idea of a ping pong tournament because the national Chinese sport is ping pong. And so they all love to play ping pong. So be praying for that will work out, because we may get a crowd to come to that. And we've got a plan to follow up with it. So much. This is a team. Can you see how everybody worked together and it's a team to be on a mission? It takes more than just one person. It takes a team, and you guys are all part of an awesome team. So you can pray for opportunities in your small group. You know, just say, well, our small group meets over here. Just God can bring people. We didn't know how many people were going to come. We didn't go specifically inviting, but we got four people who never heard the gospel come. All right, so after small groups, the last one is dream team number four, and this is where you find fulfillment in dream team, because when you are in growth track, you'll discover what your gifts, your propensities are, what you like to do, and then you can fit into all these different departments, because it takes a lot of departments in here to make Sunday service work well and function efficiently. And everyone, I know you've heard Pastor Bill say this, every one of you are winning souls. The parking lot team is winning souls. The hospitality team is winning souls. And you say, well, how is that practical? Well, think about this. When they come to the parking lot and you greet them and you help them, if somebody's visiting for the first time, there's a little bit of stress there going on, and they're wondering what's going to happen in here. And so if immediately you're taking off that pressure by comforting them at the parking lot, they're going, wow, this is nice. Then you walk in and the hospitality team is already set up with Barbara and Jerry. They've set up the fruit and the coffee and the donuts and everything. They can relax and take a cup of coffee and wake up a little bit, and then they'll be able to function on the things that are in the church that are the more, quote, spiritual things like worship and the preaching of the word. But, you know, those are spiritual, and we do want them to listen to us up here and get involved in the worship, because God really just flows through worship. He really does. He speaks to people's hearts in worship. And so those are great things, but really everything is spiritual, because everything is working together to help people have a pleasant, exciting experience, and you guys are awesome. So this is what Dream Team's all about. You'll learn if maybe you like children, so you'll have an opportunity with the children. Maybe you're administrative. You might need to help Mike in the office. You'll learn that in Growth Track and hopefully become a part of our Dream Team, and we want to invite you, if you're not a part, to pray about it. We'd love for you to be a part of the Dream Team. So everything is spiritual, and we're going to talk about how can we become more focused and missional in just a minute, but we want you to watch a little video clip that we have at this time.
Sitting at the stoplight, you can't be bothered by the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hands. Oh, but when she looks him in the eye, his heart is broken open wide, and he feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches us, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come, oh, 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 with every act of love. Jesus, help us, can be you alive in us, your light shines through. Every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. There's silence at the table. He wants to talk, but he's not able, for all the shame that's locked in deep inside. Oh, but her words are the medicine when she says they can begin again, and forgiveness will set him free tonight. As heaven touches us, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come. Oh, 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 with every act of love,
Because, of course, many ways you can show acts of love. There's many doors that you can walk through. There are opportunities out there. And so I want to encourage you to think along that lines. So three ways that you can become more focused and missional. Number one is pray for open doors. Pray for open doors. Revelation 3:8 says, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power, you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. So God has open doors for every person in here. You say, well, I haven't had very many open doors. God has them waiting for you. Yes. He has opportunities for you. Amen. The second thing which ties in with this is believe and have faith in God, that God will provide the opportunities. You have to believe it. Do you really want it? And do you believe that God can give you the, you know, everyone, he knows our strengths, our weaknesses, our speaking capabilities, but he just looks for a heart of love. So you have to believe it. Romans 12:3 says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Each one of us, not a single one of us, can say that we don't have faith, because God said we do have faith. If you have Jesus inside of you, you have the faith of God residing in you. And by that, you can believe that for opportunities to share God's love with people. And one of the things I saw in there being about mission is thinking about the Haiti mission. You will be forever changed if you go on a missions trip. I'm sure everybody in here that's been, Mike, Elaine, everybody, you can say it changes you, doesn't it? And it really shows you God's heart to go and reach people. So that's coming up in July, and if you need more information on that, you can talk to Pastor Mike, myself, Jamie, and Wesley. They lead that. And number three, ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit to give you power. For help. You know, the Holy Spirit, one of the definitions is help. He's the helper. He's somebody that is, God wants to help you. He really does. He's cheering you on. He wants to help you. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, which is Gainesville, and in Judea, which is Alachua or Marion County, and in Samaria, which is Florida, and even to the remotest part of the earth, wherever God sends you beyond, he will give you power to be his witness. And notice that it says, you don't have to go and be my witness. It says, you shall be my witness. So when you ask God for help, you ask God for power, you ask God for boldness, you shall shine a light that's already in you. Because you know that the scripture that Pastor Bill shared last week is, let your light shine before men so that they can see, glorify God for the works that he's doing in you. And so you have a light inside of you. Every single one of you have a light that wants to shine. So pray, believe, and ask for the Holy Spirit to give you that boldness. So let's pray for that right now. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Someone prayed for me. Probably multiple people prayed for me and for everyone out here that's come to know you, Lord. And in most cases, someone came and talked to us. I'm just so thankful for that. Thankful for the people that did that for all of us, Lord. So Lord, I just pray right now for us to believe that. Lord, for I pray for all of us in this room, for the Holy Spirit to show us inside that we can be mission-minded. We can know you better, and we can become mission-minded. So Lord, I pray for opportunities. I pray for divine appointments for everyone in this room. So just say that under your breath, Lord. I trust you. You'll give me the words. And Lord, I ask you for opportunities in my small group, in my daily walk. And I pray for them, Lord. I'll pray for them to give me divine opportunities. And Lord, I thank you, you said I have faith. And I believe you now, Lord, for opportunities. And I ask you for help now, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. You're my helper. You're my friend. You're my father. And I trust you now, Lord. And I thank you that you're working on behalf of my relatives, my friends, and just people from other nations like China, wherever they might be that are in our community, Lord, that you will help us to help these people come to know you. You might say this morning that, Pastor Carl, I'm not absolutely sure that if I were to die tonight, I would go to heaven. I'm not sure that, you know, I've not really received the mission in my life yet to be a follower of you, to know you. I don't know if I know you like you talked about being a father. So with everyone, let's just bow our heads again. And I want to ask you this question that says in 1 John 5, the saints were asking the question, and the Apostle John answered it for them. They wanted to know for sure if they were going to go to heaven. How can we know? Well, Jesus was just very simple with his answer. He said that he who has the Son of God, being Jesus, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He said, these things do I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. So we can know. And how do we know? By faith. Everything is by faith. We just believe because the Holy Spirit speaks inside of us. So maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking inside of you now that, Pastor Carl, I've almost given my life to the Lord. I like to come to church, but I really need to make that step. I really need to know that I'm going to go to heaven. So I would ask right now, if that's you, or maybe you did serve the Lord, but recently you've just willfully walked away and you want to get back on track and you want to know for sure that you're going to go to heaven. So if you just believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, he came and died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, and you say, I believe that, Pastor Carl, I want to follow him now. I want you to pray this prayer. Let's join in and pray with him all together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing me here today. And I now realize in my heart that Jesus, I need to follow you with my whole being. So I believe that you died for my sins on the cross and that God raised you from the dead. And I now ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I now declare with my mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. And I'm going to heaven. I'm a follower of you from this day forward, forever. Amen. Let's thank the Lord and give him praise for that, for the people who did that.